I want to share with you the incredible story of how a soul from purgatory that had been haunting a building for more than 40 years was finally released. Now, when secular people talk about ghosts, we know in the Catholic faith that that's called a soul in purgatory, given the fact that if it's not a demon. Now, in every religion, and from people from all groupings, from all parts of history, they've seen ghosts. They've seen the experience of human spirits after they've died, staying in a particular place, staying in a building, asking for help. But it was only until Christ came that we were able to offer efficacious prayer, especially through the Mass, that we were able to help these people. The following story is one such case of something that happened here in the United States. Listen to this. A little about myself. I got involved in helping the souls in purgatory in March some years ago. That was when my wife gave me a small booklet, a novena of prayers for the holy souls in purgatory. That small booklet had actually belonged to his mother-in-law, who had died 2 years prior. So in a sense, she was also asking for prayers. That got the ball rolling, and I had been reading and investigating and accumulating information on purgatory since then, which brings me to my personal story, something that happened at my local business, which had been around from about the 1880s. They had an older building, which they still used, but no longer for the bulk of their business. For at least 40 years, there was a ghost in that building that people who had to close a building at night knew about. One of my buddies would go over to the old building to close up and tell me about his ghost experience every night. I was hired on some years ago when the new building was expanded, and the machines from the old building were brought over to improve production. Cleaning was done every night in both buildings, and someone responsible had to make sure things were closed up properly. My buddy, worked at the new building with me, but would have to drive over to lock up when cleaning was done at the old building. I took care of the new building and was responsible for maintenance and repairs, also besides locking up. I talked with other folks who had done the same job as my buddy did years earlier, and they said pretty much the same thing about our ghost friend. Now, these being folks with no purgatory background or even much of a spiritual understanding, they were just afraid and fearful because they didn't want the ghost to get them. Not really knowing or having any opportunity to visit the old building at closing time, I personally didn't know if it was a soul from purgatory or possibly a demon. So I started reading books by Father Gabriel Amorth, Father Chad Ripinger, and Father Stephen Rossetti to find out what demons do and how they go about doing it. I compared that with what I knew about the holy souls in purgatory and what we were seeing from the reports about our ghost in the building. It appeared to be a holy soul. So now what? He asked himself, he was actually a purgatorian, what are you going to do to help this individual? So I started praying. I tried different prayers, devotions, rosaries, chaplets. I prayed for a year, and the result was the same. Knocking, door slamming, footsteps on the stairs. It became obvious I needed help and would have to bring in some better spiritual help. Now, some more details about what would happen at night is the following. What would happen was the individual who had to close up would take an elevator to the top floor, the sixth floor, and then work their way down, checking doors and stairwells, making sure homeless folks weren't hiding out and everything was secure. So they would check the sixth floor, move down to the fifth, and get to the fourth, and hear a door slam on the fifth floor, back up to five to check, no one there, back down to four and hear knocking. Okay, continue on to the third floor and hear footsteps on the stairs behind them and stop, and the footsteps continue. Okay, so now they're scared and running down the stairs to floor two and then down to one, set the alarm, lock the door, run to the car. This would happen every single night. So I had to do something different to help. I decided to have masses set for this individual, but I didn't know how to go about doing that. I didn't know who this person was, and all I had was an address and three noises this individual was allowed to make to communicate with the living. We had a missionary office of priests nearby where we were living, so I wrote them a long letter explaining the situation and gave them the funds and instructions to say three masses for this individual. 2 weeks later, my friend, the manager who was going to this building and closing up, told me, "It's quiet now. There isn't any noise like before. It's perfect." I received a confirmation card around the same time from the missionary priest telling me that they had said masses a couple days later for the soul in purgatory at the business. I brought the card in for my buddy so that he could see what had happened and was happy that the soul made it to heaven. Despite the fact that we didn't know everything about this individual, they were able to, from different clues, figure them out and ultimately help them. So, okay, there are some incredible, important lessons here for us to learn. And you see it kind of woven through in the story. The first one is committing to a particular soul in purgatory and then persevering in helping them like a type of long-term friendship. Now, I'll have to admit that even I, when I pray for the souls in purgatory, I'll oftentimes pray for them sort of in general and not in any particular length of time, just like on a daily basis. This is different. This particular individual chose one and committed to them. Did you hear that? For a year. This is the case. Sometimes a soul in purgatory to be taken from wherever they are in purgatory to heaven need a committed person to walk alongside them and pray for them for an extended period of time. Now, because there's so many souls in purgatory, that could feel like you're wasting time. But at the end of the day, we got to get the job done. So if that means focusing on just one, that is a noble and a beautiful thing to do. And God sees that with incredible love. So picking one soul in purgatory and sticking with them for a long period of time. That's the first thing. So commitment. The second thing is discerning. Notice how they tried different things and nothing seemed to work. So they would try different things for a period of a year and then see that the fruits of it maybe were there in their prayer life, but they didn't see anything change. The noises were still there. The disturbance was still there, or the lack of peace, or whatever are the signs that these souls in purgatory are giving you, they're still there. So that can indicate to you, okay, further discernment, what else do they need? In this particular case, it was the Mass. He took it a step further and did the Mass and was generous enough. This was a soul in purgatory no one even knew about. He didn't know him. It wasn't his family member. He had, so to speak, nothing to gain from it. Yet he decided to be generous and step out in faith and advance what he was doing for prayer. So commitment, and then discernment, and then generosity. In that period of praying for a year, he was probably organized. That's another one of the things that sometimes in our own faith life we don't do. We sort of spray and pray instead of praying in a way where you're organizing this type of prayer. Now, on the topic of organization, my wife is actually working on a book to help people organize their prayer for the souls in purgatory. The working title is something like Never Forgotten, a prayer calendar for the souls in purgatory, where it will lay out the 12 months of the year and you will place the name of a person who died on a particular month and day. Each month lets you put about 10 names or so, something like that. And there's pictures and quotes to teach you about purgatory to help you essentially organize your praying for the souls in purgatory so that you can commit more fully to them. She's actually working with the Rosa Mystica Shrine, and this will be put into print soon, but I wanted to let you know that this is in the works. I also have a book that I will be working on that's a collection of purgatory stories sent by many of you. This will be published in March of 2027. My wife's book should be ready to be purchased within this month. Speaking of Rosa Mystica, I will be leading a generational healing and reparation retreat with Patrick and Joy Campbell at the end of this month in July. You can still register. There are still spots. That will be in upstate New York. Here's a Shrine link. They will be selling my wife's book at the Shrine at some point, and I will also notify you through the community page on YouTube. My friends, if you find that there is some sort of haunting nearby you, as Catholics, we are meant to serve. It is a call for us to pray for that soul in purgatory and to not be afraid. That's the other thing we can learn from this person. He was not afraid. He went there and he did it. He didn't necessarily spend the night in the building, but he prayed for that soul in purgatory to be helped. We can do the same in our local areas. If this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and support the channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.